This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Merry Christmas. Good Thursday morning to you from a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. Happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas. Danny Higgins in for Kelly Bidlin on this Christmas morning. Merry Christmas, Daniel.
Merry Christmas, Gil. Happy holidays.
Danny, how about a fresca?
Danny!
Dude, good to be here on a Christmas morning. Hope everybody's having a great one out there. If you're on the East Coast, you've already woken up and the presents are under the tree. You're already opening them up. West Coast, I don't know who's up. I don't know who's awake this morning, to be quite honest.
Not too many people.
I'm going to count. I count six people out there that are ready to go. We have guests today. Michael Montesano will join us, the 2020 Circa Booby Prize winner, who has himself a contest dilemma. We'll talk college hoops with him. We'll talk college football. We'll talk pro football with him. But he also has a contest dilemma where he has two entries and he is sort of on the bubble of the top 100 in Circa Millions. So to cash.
Okay.
He's on the bubble to cash. He's also very close to the top of the quarterly.
Oh.
And he has the dilemma of how does he now play for the last 2 weeks? How does he play the last two entries? Does he try to match them both and go for broke into the last week, or does he go oppo hoping that one goes 5-0 or 4-1 so that he can ensure that one is in play for both?
I'm very curious to hear that here that goes, because I was in for the first 2 weeks. I was 8-2, so then for the quarter the last quarter, but last week had a rough week
and then not so much
last week,
no. Our buddy Money Gun Guz, who was in for the whole thing, had a bad 1-4 last week, too. Christmas jams. We haven't forgotten about that. We did 15 through 11 top Christmas jams of all time. Top 10 coming up today by popular demand. A numbers game tradition, unlike any other. We will do that as well. And Bill Krakenberger, Zach and Crack. That doesn't change on a Thursday either. Zach will be here. Zach Cohen. The NBA starts in a little less than 2 hours with the Knicks and the Cavs. That tips off at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You know how those start times go, but right around there. And then an hour after that, when we go off the air for the VSiN Christmas Live show, special Christmas Live all day today on VSiN, then it's football, NFL,
yes.
Washington and Dallas. Oh, the best rivalry in all of sports, if this were 1982. But yeah, there's that in the NFL, which brings us, and Crack, by the way, Crack, we don't know where is Crack around this country today? We don't know?
Yeah, no, he did not. When I was texting him yesterday to send him the link, but he did not say where he was, so I'm not sure exactly where he's at.
Okay.
I don't know if he's in Florida, I don't know if he's in Jersey, I don't know if he's somewhere else. We'll find out.
Well, I need an identification on this. Is it a Christmas tree or is this a Christmas hat?
I believe it's a hat.
Right,
Darnell, it's a hat.
All right, we have a Christmas hat right in front of us here. We'll get into all that today. I just want to say today, with this triple header of the NFL, this is obviously not what the NFL had bargained for in terms of what's the opposite of marquee matchups, given the fact that we have the trio of Josh Johnson, Max Brosmer, and Chris Olakotan. Oladokun, pardon me. I went from Oladokun to Oladokun this week. I'm trying to still get it right. So that's the triple header, obviously, Dallas, Washington, Detroit, Minnesota, and then Denver, Kansas City later on. But I was curious then, and then you have the five games, the quintuple header, if you will, in the NBA. A far cry from yesterday, which, by the way, turned out to be a great game between Cal and Hawaii in the end.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I thought Cal was going to win that 100-0 yesterday.
Yeah, well, 21-0, and then they...
Yeah, that was it.
Started coming back.
Got a field goal after a 21-0 lead. That was it for them.
Backup quarterback comes in, throws a touchdown, second play.
I should say they got a field goal, then they got a go-ahead touchdown
late.
Not late enough for the Rainbow Warriors of Hawaii. But that was, we waited all day for one game. So at least we have three NFL, five NBA. And I was curious last year, because the games today are on Netflix, Amazon, in that order. It's an all streaming Christmas. Now, last year, there was a doubleheader on Christmas, because remember, Christmas fell on a Wednesday. So the next day, there was a Thursday night football game. Remember that awful Bears-Seahawks game, which was 6-3 on Thursday night football? So it was a doubleheader Wednesday Christmas last year. And I was just curious, because folks are like, oh, I can't believe this streaming stuff. Last year, the two games, because I was curious, last year, the two games were between the 14-1 Chiefs, pardon me, the 14-1 Chiefs and the 10-5 Steelers. That was one game. Chiefs won it 29-10. And then the 10-5 Ravens, against the 9-6 Texans.
Yes.
31-2 was the final score for those who remember that. So anyway, you had four teams that had really good records, four teams that ended up in the playoffs, three of which ended up winning their divisions. So it was two really good games last year, and the viewership on Netflix set all kinds of records. They were the most streamed NFL games in U.S. history, obviously that was. A huge win for Netflix's strategy. Average U.S. viewers for the Chiefs-Steelers game was 24.1 million. Ravens-Texans was 24.3 million. When you look at the total U.S. audience last year, it was 65 million tuned in for at least part of the games, those two games last year. Again, two marquee matchups, 65 million people. There's only, I don't know if you know this, there's only 340 million people in this country, and some are children that don't have Netflix accounts. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Over 30 million per game. Ultimately, peak viewership. Do you remember what peak viewership was? At one point, it was 27 million eyeballs on Beyonce's halftime show for the Ravens-Texans game. By contrast, the NBA games last year, there was five games also last year, but against two NFL games, you're wondering, oh, what's the viewership going to be like? NBA averaged 5.25 million viewers, which is huge for the NBA. Still set records for them. I think it was like an 84% leap from the year before. Their biggest game was the Lakers-Warriors, 7.76 million. But then they had Knicks-Spurs, Celtics-Sixers, Nuggets-Suns. Very, very comparable to the level of matchups that we have in the NBA today. But the point being, this will be interesting to see how these absolutely fakakta football games today with these three quarterbacks end up doing. Will they do as well as those two last year? Will they do better? Do more people have Netflix accounts? And the NBA benefits incrementally off the fact that some people just don't have Netflix or Amazon. So anyway, that's the ratings breakdown. If you ever wondered, hey, does the NBA compete with the NFL at all? The answer is a resounding not even close.
Not even close.
It really is our national religion. Do you have a play in any of these three games today?
Today, no. I'm looking at a couple props. Going to iron those out over the next couple hours. See some inactives coming out. We should have some inactives coming out around 90 minutes prior to that first kickoff. So around 11:30, we get some inactives for the Dallas Washington game. And then I'll give some props out at the end if any of the listeners liked any props. I'm a big prop guy, so I'd like to give out some props there.
Dallas scoring 28 points a game, 393 yards of offense a game, 6 yards per play against a horrific Washington defense. Dak Prescott throwing for 28 touchdowns, averaging 7.6 yards per pass attempt. Washington's pass defense giving up 8.3 yards per pass. Oh boy, we're up to 9 now with Josh Johnson at the helm for Washington.
Well, it came out this morning, too. Gone. If you saw it, running back Chris Rodriguez Jr. is questionable with an illness.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep that. See how that's going
to
go.
Add that to the mix.
Yep.
And then, so that one is, how many people are going to have a three-team money line parlay today, which pays about 70 cents on the dollar? I would imagine it's millions of people will have this. What could possibly go wrong? I don't think it's going to go wrong for you in the first game. The second game is a different story, though, right? Detroit-Minnesota. Where Minnesota, top 10 defensive, matter of fact, 8th in the NFL in EPA per play allowed, and has gotten better as the season has gone along. But I will say this, again, that's the Minnesota defense. Detroit's offense, 7th in the NFL EPA per play, 2nd in points per game. Dan Campbell, historically off a loss, really, really good, 13-3 against the spread. I don't know. Minnesota seems feistier to me than Washington. That's obviously reflected marginally in the line of today's game. And then Denver at Kansas City a little later on. Chris Olakote. I can't even. I said it perfectly yesterday. Now I can't say it today. Chris Olakote. Good luck to you, Broncos. The Broncos defense has gotten a little, worse is the wrong word. It's not quite as firing on all cylinders as it was earlier in the year, but they're still top 10 in the league in EPA per play allowed. With the 5th best rush EPA per play allowed. So there you go. Kansas City Chiefs have at that after the Chiefs' lackluster performance. So we'll get Zach's thoughts on those games. We'll get Michael Montesano's thoughts on these games today. I have not, like all the things that I've been on guessing lines, none of them had anything to do with today's games.
No, this, I'm,
but all, like you said, it's all a lot of chalk. You know, we got a lot of 7 point plus, you know, eight, up to 9, 7.5 for the Detroit Minnesota game, and then, you know, Denver Chiefs. We got some 14s out there now.
Yeah.
14s, Gil.
Yeah. Again, and Survivor. The Survivor implications need to be emphasized one more time before this happens, because this is brutality for these final 10 entries that remain in Circus Survivor. Well, at least for half the field it does. So nobody has Detroit, Denver left. Half have Dallas. 5 have Dallas remaining.
Yes.
Available to them, I mean. But nobody has Denver or Detroit of the 3 favorites. So 5 of the remaining 10 entries must play either Josh Johnson, Chris Oladokun, or in between Max Brosmer. And because those favorites are the size of what you're saying, their ability to bet, you know, to monetize their entry, anticipating perhaps I'm going to get knocked out today, let me at least bet the other side to make some money. Man, those money lines are massive.
Massive.
Right? So it's not a fun predicament for these folks who have gone, what is it now? 17 of the 20 Circus Survivor weeks. They've come this far only to face this predicament to no, through no fault of their own, because they were, you know, they were saving Mahomes and the Chiefs. They were saving Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. You know, not so much now. So good luck to all those folks. We'll see how many tomorrow when we're on the show. We'll see how many made it to the other side before this weekend, which is a whole nother thing. But I would imagine after today, the CHOP discussion would happen. Though, you know, I say that with confidence. These folks have different mindsets. Everybody's got a different motivation. Yeah. Some people have entries that are split 100 ways, so they don't want to CHOP because of how those amounts are split up to begin with. We'll come back. Michael Montesano joined us. College hoops, college football, NFL. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out the Sharp Plays. You can scan the QR code on your screen for more. Sharp Plays, unmatched transparency with records updated daily. AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. Sharpplays.com. Check it out. Skill Alexander. Danny Higgins in for the vacation and Kelly Bidlin. Merry Christmas to Kelly, if he's listening on the East Coast.
Yes.
Merry Christmas to everybody behind the glass. We don't do this by ourselves, and these guys come in every day. Holidays or not, also, I don't know if they want their last names said, but we'll say them out loud. Darnell Glenn, Chris Foster, Larry Meir, all of them here, Lair Bear, all of them here working hard. We appreciate them coming in every morning, but especially on these holiday mornings. They toil back there. Usually Danny's back there too, but I stole him.
Yeah, as Chris said. Stole me this week.
I stole him this week. We get tweets of beating the book. Jacob at Pony Boy Wonder, he says, shout out. Oh, talking about the Chinese restaurants. I did my annual tweet yesterday about Chinese restaurants keeping folks of the tribe going every Christmas. He said, shout out to Peking Gourmet in Falls Church, Virginia, for getting it done on any holiday, especially today, though. For those who don't know, for those who are from the DMV, the District, Maryland, Virginia, Peking Gourmet is the pillar of Chinese restaurants in the DMV. T-Pars 2 says, Merry Christmas, gents, and the entire ANG crew. Y'all are the best, and let's cash some tickets today. Let's do it, T-Pars. Sarah. Hey, Sarah, we got our female demographic spiking this morning.
Yes.
She said, if only the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald was a Christmas song so we could see where Gil would put it on the Christmas list. Oh, Sarah, it would not crack the top 20. I promise you that. Though I do have a bet. People are like, hey, Christmas list, you have any bets involved in this? Is this betting related? Oh, yes, it is. I have a bet. Kalshi, right now, prediction market, has top global Spotify song on Christmas Day. Now, are you familiar with the history of this? The number one Christmas Day song in terms of Spotify downloads on Christmas Day for recent history, every Christmas, has been what Todd sang yesterday on the show, All I Want for Christmas Is You from Mariah Carey. This year, though, I didn't even mean to recite lyrics from the song already. This year to save you from tears. This year, Wham's Last Christmas. So Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Was You was released in 1994. Last Christmas by Wham was released in 1984. And you can bet on the top global Spotify song on Christmas Day. Last Christmas right now pays like almost $5. It's like plus 476 right now on Kalshi. I think that's a bet. I think this is the year where it takes Mariah Carey down.
Takes Mariah down.
I really do. So there's a bet for you prior to even doing the Christmas countdown. Jesse Welch, Merry Christmas to the ANG fam and a happy Thursday to Gil. Appreciate you being there. Thank you for putting it in terms I understand. Happy Thursday instead of Merry Christmas. Jonathan Doe is the first to, by the way, not John Doe, Jonathan Doe, first comment on the glass. He says, nice to see you break out your prosthetic nose again. Gil looks great. Merry Christmas to you and the entire Visa and ANG family. I said I wore it on Thanksgiving. I'll wear it on Christmas. Mariners Geek, Merry Christmas to my members of the tribe, Mishpucha. Enjoy your day. You too, Mariners Geek. Norman Vegas, this year, if you were naughty, Santa left a piece of coal in your stocking. But if you were extra naughty, he left tickets to the Raiders Giants bottom of the barrel bowl this Sunday. Absolutely is the bottom of the barrel bowl. Jamie Leva, so do I feast and take the backup quarterbacks to go over on yardage or famine and round robin interceptions? Also, what's the Chinese food order? I feel the people need this as much as the final 10 Christmas songs. I hope you, Danny, and Mr. Biddley have a fantastic day. You too, Jamie Leva. Merry Christmas to you. My go-to in San Francisco was war wonton soup. It's wonton soup with, like, everything in it.
Okay.
Yeah, all kinds of protein, all kinds of stuff. And Las Vegas 514, yo, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and the whole ANG crew. If only it were 1982, I mentioned the Cowboys-Skins rivalry may have peaked in the early 80s. When it was the greatest rivalry in football, let alone perhaps in sports, American sports at that point. It's a Daryl Grant intercepting Gary Hogaboom 10 yards of the house to seal the deal in the NFC Championship game, if only. That was a New Year's Eve, I want to say. Was that game? It was a Saturday. I was there at RFK Stadium as a kid. Greatest day in Skins history, that NFC Championship. Without better than Super Bowls. RJZ8. Christmas morning spent with Gil matriculating the gifts as we speak. Merry Christmas. We're on a screen next to his Christmas tree. Appreciate that, RJ. Thanks nice. For spending Christmas morning with us. Chris Heath, Merry Christmas, Gil. I'm so happy Lizzo made the list. Anyone that has strong opinions about Lizzo did not read the whole story. Hey, man, the song is the song. We're not making judgments on anything else. And James Fraction. Hey, James. Merry Christmas. Hey, Gil, happy holidays to you, your staff, and all your listeners. I'm asking for Dallas Moneyline, Minnesota Moneyline, and Kansas City plus 13.5 from Santa this Christmas Day. Let's go. All right, we'll try to make that happen for you. Michael Montesano was kind enough to join us. It's always tough to get guests on Christmas.
Yes.
You have to be of a certain persuasion. The kids have to be out of school, you know, or old enough where they're not in the house anymore. Michael Montesano, 2020 Circa Booby Prize winner, joins us now. That's finishing by design now. Last in Circa, the original Circa Millions, where he got $100,000. And now he has himself a Christmas Day dilemma, which he'll get to. Michael, Merry Christmas to you, man. Thanks for doing this.
Merry Christmas, everyone. As I said, I have the eggnog in hand and toast for Kelly. I know he's a big eggnog fan, so thanks for having me on.
All right, so explain to folks what the story is. I tried doing it in the first segment, but give us the scenario.
So I have two entries. And ideally, when you have two entries, you give the same picks, or maybe you give some different picks, and you want to kind of put yourself in play at the end to see if you can, you know, maybe do an opposite strategy, or maybe you can, you know, go for broke and go all in and maybe get two in the top 100 or whatever. So I have two. One is tied for 84th at 48 points, and then the other one is a half a point behind. It's like tied for 113. Now I have to start the fourth quarter. I'm doing pretty well. I'm 12-3. Both entries are 12-3. And you know, you come all this way. It's a long contest, and yeah. You know, when you're in Circa Survivor, you can hedge, you can make some money, and I want to cash in this thing, you know? So, but how, you know, well, do I want to cash it like the 84th mark where I get like 4,000 or 5,000? Do I obviously want to cash it much higher to get a bigger payout? But the point is I want to cash. I mean, I have not cashed in Circa the Booby Prize 5 years ago. You know, people say, you know, tell me, oh, go for it. You have two entries, you know, go for broke. But it's easy to say, but when you come this way, man, there's some mental aspects of it. And, you know, you want to walk away with something.
Yeah. So again, it's, you're on the bubble in terms of cashing, you know, what top 100 get paid in Circa Millions. So you're on that bubble. Yep. You're in that bubble. And then you're also, again, you said 12-3. So how far behind are you in the leader in the quarterly?
1.5 points.
Okay.
The leader has 13.5. And I'm with, again, a ton of people that have like 13 and 12 and a half and 12.
What? So, and the prize for the quarterly is how much money?
Well, there's five, I believe there's five payouts. It's 150,000.
Okay.
75,000, and then it goes down. I think the fifth place is 10, but more likely when you get to like 3, 4, and 5, there's probably multiple winners. You're combining it and you're splitting it out that way.
And then the bottom of, so let's say the 80th place in the Circa Millions full season is how much? Comparable or not nearly as much?
Not nearly as much. Okay. I would say, you know, a couple thousand if you're lucky, 2, 3, 4 thousand if you're lucky.
So the quarterly means more to you than in terms of what you can make. And so this, it comes down to, okay, if you decide to match them, you gotta, right? Like you could get, you could just crap out immediately if you go 2-3 or 1-4 or 0-5, right? It's go for broke. If it goes well, on the other hand, oh boy, then you're in spectacular position heading into the final week. Or you do the Splitsville now, and the downfall of that is you still have to get, you go opposite, in other words, on all the plays. But even then, like then you're rooting against the 3-2, 2-3, right? Like you can't have that.
Yeah. You can't have the 3-2. I mean, you could do the opposite. You go 3-2 next week, you do the opposite again and you go 3-2. And what are you going to do?
Yeah. What's your lean right now? What do you think? What do you think you're going to do?
My lean is right now to go opposite. I want to give myself at least a shot for next week. And then, you know, if I go 3-2 this week, maybe for both entries next week, I just go for broke. That'll have to be the decision I make to see where I am. You know, obviously, you're looking to pick all half point, you know, 4.5 or 5.5, whatever it is, so you can get the win or the loss. I don't think the half point does me any good right now.
And let's start with this. You have no plays on any of the three games today. None of those.
No plays. It is a squirrely day, and you've got all these backup quarterbacks and what motivation do guys have to play? Like, I was just looking at the Dallas-Washington game. I guess that game's already been played. Everyone's bet Dallas. Game's over, right?
You didn't hear? It's done. No need to show
it's
up.
It's done. It's over. I mean, Josh Johnson can't play. And, you know, but is Milton going to play in the fourth quarter, third quarter? We don't know that. I don't know any of that.
It's a great point. Okay, we'll come back. We have time with Michael. We're going to get his two best NFL Week 17 bets. That will absolutely be part of his entry as well, one would think. He has a bet to win the AFC. He's got quarterfinal plays in three of the four quarterfinals in college football. He has a play to win the national championship in college football as well. And then a whole bunch of college basketball. Plus, we got to recap how he did on his three rando conference bets from earlier in the year. Last year, he got three long shots right to the three conference championship games for all to lose. We'll recap that as well. Michael Montesano on a Christmas morning here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
As the official horse racing partner of VSiN, First Bet is built for bettors who demand more. First Bet isn't just about placing a bet. It's about helping bettors of all levels with proprietary AI handicapping tools that provide data-driven insights to help you make smarter bets. First Bet's in-app tools give you win plays and show probabilities for each runner so you can quickly and easily identify good value plays and improve your ROI. Right now, you can take advantage of the limited time $250 sign-up offer. To claim your bonus, use promo code VSIN250 when you sign up in the First Bet app or firstbet.com. That's promo code VSIN250. Merry Christmas to everybody out there on this Christmas morning. A triple header of football, a quintuple header of basketball. Chris Felica from some Caribbean island has texted and he's listening and he's setting the number of tribesmen at 3.5 over under this morning on the show. And does the host count? If the host counts, it's going to get close, but I don't think we're going to get there. It's a great line. Michael Montesano kind enough to join us on this Christmas morning because your kids, Michael Montesano, the Circa Booby Prize winner in 2020, he's been on this show for years, giving out futures plays. Michael, your kids are old enough now where you can hang out on Christmas morning and do a show like this, right? They're in their 20s.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a 21-year-old still sleeping right now.
That's
so
what
the
they
days
do.
Of the little kids getting you up at 6 a.m. are long gone. I have my oldest son. He's out on his own, but he'll come over later in the day. So it's, yeah, I can do anything you want, man. Early in the morning, mid-morning, and I'm ready to go.
Man, it's you remember those days when you could sleep till noon, no problem when you're that age. What a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's touch on college basketball before you get to your quarterfinal plays in college football and a futures play in college football as well. College Hoops, Todd was on yesterday. Todd Wishnev, who's up 122 units College Hoops. He has himself a little 3-day break, and he was going through these teams that had this wide gap between offensive KenPom and defensive KenPom. You wanted something about that inspired you. You wanted to say something about that.
Yeah, I mean, what Todd does is awesome, and he's using KenPom metrics to try to create an edge for his in-game stuff. I'm not an expert at that. Todd is, but I like to look at all the KenPom metrics to see. So many people have their formulas on who will win the national championship. Top 20. I think you have one, a really good one. I need actual numbers. I need concrete numbers. So I've went through and I did a 25-year, the last 25 years, well, since 1997, all the KenPom champions. And I'm looking to see, well, what if you win the national championship, what metrics do you have to have? So if you go to KenPom and you look at the net ratings, okay, since 1997, the median for your net rating, the median national champion is 31.7. So you need to have an adjusted efficiency margin of 31.7. If you go to a net rating for your adjusted offensive rating, the median number is 120.9. Defense, 90.6. Tempo, 67.2. And I did mention one time on Twitter a while ago is the conference you play in is very important. The only school, we always go back to the 2014 UConn team that's, kind of ruined everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
But their conference, they were seventh. Everyone else need to be in a conference 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at KenPom. If you go back to 10 years, okay, the last 10 years, you're looking at a net rating of 33.1. That's the median of all the champions. Offensive rating, 124.0. Defensive rating, 91.4. So if you're looking at a team to possibly make a future on, let's say, for example, I'm looking down, hey, I want to make a future on Alabama to win the national championship. They're awesome. They can score. Okay, great. They fit in the offensive rating of 126.7, but defensively they're terrible, 102.3. Can they get to that median rating of 91? Highly unlikely. Yeah. Highly unlikely. Now again, this is where you finish. It's where it finishes at the end, but you can kind of correlate. If you look at the top three teams, Michigan, Arizona, Iowa State, all three of them fall into those metrics. Michigan and net rating of 37, offensive rating of 125.9, defensive rating at 88.2. They play a strong strength of schedule, obviously, and they're in one of the top five conferences. Same thing with Arizona, Iowa State. Now you take a team like Gonzaga, okay? You take a team like the Zags, and they fit all the numbers. Okay, with the exception of maybe their defensive rating, they're at 93.6, so they will improve on that in their weak non-conference, but their conference rating is seventh. No team, again, with the exception of UConn, has won a national championship outside of the top five in conference ratings. So it's just something for you to kind of take a look at.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to post this on my Substack.
I was going to say, please do. And your Twitter is Bets and Reps, right? So people can go there.
I've sent tweets out about this, and I'll go back and try to find them and maybe repost it. But I am going to put something out on my Substack just so people can have an idea of what to look for. Everyone loves Louisville, okay? Wow, they're great. Can they win the national championship? I would say no right now because of their defense. What about Houston? Houston looks like they fit. They're really close. The problem with Houston is they play a slow tempo. So I'm not a big fan of teams that play slow to win national championships. You know, we can go back to the Virginia. They were the slowest team to ever win national championship, but you know, they were the luckiest team to ever win a national championship.
They deserved it after losing to the 16th seed UMBC the year before.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So just some basic numbers. I appreciate Todd doing everything that he talked about yesterday, because it's kind of like something similar that I do to look at futures.
Well, yours is kind of like your version of the formula that I do, right? It's almost like these are the criteria. You got to hit these. By the way, my formula, the one stipulation that has gone under the last 2 years is the Sweet 16. Is that a coach has had to coach in the Sweet 16 beforehand? Both Dan Hurley and Golden from Florida have said that stipulation ain't working anymore. So I may have to revisit that one. But that's your version of it. We'll get Bets and Reps. By the way, weightlifting Twitter handle, Bets and Reps, is Michael's place to go find all that stuff if you're interested in his college basketball parameters for the title. Let's switch to college football. Remind us how you did. You came on the show at the beginning of the year. You gave out some conference futures. You did better this year. You got all the way to 3 conference championships last year, only to lose 60 minutes away from cashing all 3 long shots. How'd you do this year?
Oh, no longer the bridesmaid. This year I cashed all 3 of them. When I was on, I had Texas Tech plus 650. I had James Madison plus 290, I believe, and Tulane 3-1 plus 300. They all got there. They all cashed. And back in August, too, again, on my Twitter handle, I did tweet out. I said I took a shot with James Madison at 10-1. To just get to the CFP, and we all know what happened. We don't have to rehash that, but they did get there, so that cashed as well. So it was a really good futures season and my regular season win totals went 6-3. I didn't give any college football regular season win totals on your show, but I did put it on my Substack. So far, it's been very fortunate and done very well this year in football.
All right, let's start then. Moving forward now, you have bets in 3 of the 4 quarterfinals games. Let's hold those for a second. Give us in the one game of the quarterfinals you're not playing deals with a team, though, that you are making a futures play on to win the title. Explain all that to us.
Yeah, right. I have a future on Texas Tech to win the national championship. I took them a while back, 11-1. I still like them at 8-1. Per all my numbers, everything that I look at, I don't know why they're the underdog in this one. There's a lot of narrative out there for Oregon, and it's understandable why there is. But right now, Texas Tech with that defense, that vaunted defense, they are my pick to win the national championship. I have a model that I use. It's called adjusted scoring margin. Okay, what is that? Well, it's easy. You take scoring margin, and then I have a formula that I use where I use strength of schedule. I kind of combine the both. It creates a number. And that number usually is a pretty good predictor of who will win the national championship. I can go back 10 years. It's if you finish 1 or 2 in my adjusted scoring margin, you're going to win the national championship. Well, Gil, you'll like to hear this. Number 1 is Indiana.
Yes.
So they're number 1 in my adjusted scoring margin. Number 2 is Notre Dame. They're not in it. But tied for 3 is Texas Tech and Ohio State. Again, this is where you finish. They could lose. They're finished. They probably finish 3rd or 4th. They don't make it. But I think as they go on, and if they will beat Oregon, they will go on. And that game against Indiana will be super close. I just like everything about this team. I like the coach. I like their quarterback is extremely underrated. And they have, again, a defense. They got some studs on the defensive line.
All right, we'll come back. Michael does have plays on the other 3 quarterfinal games, obviously Friday night and 2 on New Year's Day. Pardon me, the Miami-Ohio State game on New Year's Eve, then Indiana-Alabama and Ole Miss-Georgia on New Year's Day. 2 NFL plays week 17 and an NFL future as well to win the AFC. Might not be who you expect. Maybe it is. We'll come back. Michael Montesano on a Christmas morning. Merry Christmas to all. From a numbers game in Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on Visa. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Danny Higgins in for Kelly Bidlin on this Christmas morning. Danny.
Danny.
We get tweets to be in the book. Scuba Scott, Merry Christmas to you and everyone in VSiN land. Appreciate all the input on today's game. But the big question for you, Gil, what was on the menu at the Chinese restaurant last night? Again, war wonton soup. There was some chow fun. There were some egg rolls. It's very thorough. DP, happy holidays to all. Leftover Chinese is fantastic. Yes, it is. Rich PSM, Todd hosting a numbers game. This came up yesterday on the show or on the Megapod. I can't remember which. I think it was yesterday. I specifically remember that day he had a segment with Mark Lawrence. He did. Wow. A life savant versus the ultimate pre-flop trended. It was war, and Todd just couldn't let Mark get away with it. I didn't listen. I was in a hospital bed. I wish we could find that. Jason H11, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah to John Paxson, Kelly, the VSiN crew, and Michael Jordan. What a Megapod. Yeah, that all came up somehow in the Megapod, beating the book of Megapod with Ben Wilson this week. It was great talking to Ben. Mark Hansen, thank you for working on the holidays. We appreciate your efforts. May I nominate Stevie Nicks' version of Silent Night from the very special Christmas album from 1987. It's a great song. There will be a version of Silent Night, but not Stevie Nicks' version on that list. And Jonathan Doe wanted to follow up with Danny. He says, with all sincerity, talking about my prosthetic glasses looking like I have a prosthetic nose. He says, with all sincerity, Danny Higgins has been amazing this week. What a nice changeup, not to mention his top-notch Marine Corps haircut. Question for him, how was he able to score one of Kelly's plaid shirts? Took a shot at you there at the end.
Yeah, I went with the plaid today. You know.
All right, we'll get to the others here as I clear my voice. Michael Montesano, kind enough to join us for one more segment because we got a whole bunch more to get to with Michael. Okay, Michael, without further ado, let's start. Before we get to the quarterfinals, you have a bowl game you like this week.
Yeah, tomorrow, Northwestern versus Central Michigan. I jumped on Northwestern minus the 10.5. If you look at this game, we can go back to one data point. Okay. Both teams played Michigan this year, and Northwestern played them very tough. They lost a close game, 24-22, probably should have won the game as they were pretty much in control of the whole second half. And I believe Michigan scored late to get the win. Central Michigan got destroyed 63-3. So I look at that as an important data point in that game. Central Michigan lost their top rusher. He's headed to the NFL draft. They really, really struggled to score. They're not a great offensive team. Solid defensively, not great offensively. I think Northwestern's starting to build something here. Preston Stone, he's an experienced quarterback. I think he wants to, you know, to show out in the final game this year. So, I'm going to take Northwestern minus one. All my numbers, my power ratings, and normally I don't really look at my power rating number. I look at it, but we all know with all the opt-outs and everything, it gets a little tough to adjust for players. But all my numbers point to Northwestern this one, and a low-scoring game, but I think they get the job done.
All right, that's the first of three bowl games tomorrow, the Game Above Sports Bowl. Oh, who could forget that bowl? The Game Above Sports Bowl. All right, to the national quarterfinals. Friday night, New Year's Eve, Miami. 9.5-point dogs versus Ohio State. You as well are on the Hurricanes, yes?
I am. This Miami Hurricane team is a dangerous club. And, I had them last week against Texas A&M. They came through for me. And, when I just look at all my numbers, it's going to be a low-scoring game. They're getting the 9.5 points. If you look at my adjusted scoring margin model or formula, it has Ohio State minus 6.5. You look at my power ratings, my overall power ratings, Ohio State minus 6.1. You look at I have a yards per play model, really, really close. So I'm going to take the Miami with the both defenses are rock solid. We know how good Ohio State is on defense. I think Ohio State's kind of coasted. Throughout the year, they just, they really didn't have a tremendous showing in the conference championship game. But again, against a very, very good Indiana team. But 9.5 points is just too many points in this one. So I jumped on the top, one of the top defenses in the country, Miami, getting the points.
All right. I think I know which way you're going with this one because you just talked about your ratings, how Indiana was above the fray. So I'm guessing you're going to lay the points with the Hoosiers against Bama.
Yeah, I'm gonna lay the number with Indiana minus 6.5. I mean, they've been a juggernaut all year. And they have the top coach in the country in Kurt Cignetti. What he's done the last 2 years is, I don't know if we'll ever see that again. But if you look at my adjusted scoring margin model, if you look at my power ratings, you look at my yards per play, it all points to Indiana. We can create narratives about the SEC. We can create narratives about, there's some injuries with Alabama, but they played really well last week. But they were down 17-0 on the road. They needed kind of a little kickstart in the second, third quarter to get back in that game against a really average Oklahoma team, especially offensively. Indiana's defense, probably the most underrated unit on that field this weekend, or next weekend, excuse me. And I really like Indiana, as they are number one in my adjusted scoring margin rankings.
All right. Now, yesterday on the show, I was just saying all I've heard was one-way traffic on Georgia. We finally have our Ole Miss plus the points guy. You like Ole Miss plus 6.5.
Yeah, I do. They came in buttoned up against Tulane, and people would say, wow, it's just Tulane. Well, they blew them out. They didn't sleepwalk through the game. If you look at the first meeting, Mississippi and Georgia, close game until the fourth quarter. And Georgia outscored them 17-0 in the fourth quarter, and it was at Georgia. So I look at that, and I say, and I look at all my numbers, and I say, why not? Why can't Ole Miss win this game? Why can't they keep it close? I was not impressed with Georgia in some of their games offensively this year. They're a little bit lower in my ratings, and they're pretty close in my adjusting scoring margin model to Mississippi. So I'm going to take Ole Miss plus the points. And maybe you want to sprinkle a little bit on the money line. They got some talent, and I really like their quarterback as well. And I think it's going to be one heck of a game.
Sprinkle me, man. Ole Miss, the last, chronologically speaking, of the quarterfinal games on New Year's Day. Okay, to the National Football League. Again, you have this dilemma with your two entries. By the way, Chris Valica chiming in from, I want to say, St. Kitts. I don't know what island he's on right now. He says, go for it. Just play him as you would. Don't try to outsmart yourself. Because, and he's right, there's no guarantee of what happens in Week 18 either. That's his advice on that. As a guy who does very well in contests, here are two plays that you do like Week 17. I assume these will be part of your contest entries. Maybe I shouldn't assume that. Let's start with the Steelers and the Browns. What do you like there?
I like the Steelers in this one. That may not be part of my contest because if it was a half a point, I'm looking at these half point lines, like 3.5, 2.5. So I can get either a win or a loss. Half point might not do me any good to try to move up the rankings, but the Steelers in this one, a lot of it's going to be predicated on what happens with the Baltimore Green Bay game. And, Green Bay wins, Steelers got the division. So that line may go down even more. So you might want to wait for
it, right.
Just see what happens after that one. But all my numbers point to the Steelers in this one. I mean, they can't sit everybody, they can't sit every starter in the game. And Mason Rudolph is a capable backup. So if they do sit Aaron Rodgers in that one and they put Mason in, and what have the Browns done the last 3 or 4 weeks? Their defense, for having two defensive, the top defensive player of the year and the rookie of the year as favorites, they have been terrible defensively, and the Steelers are really starting to play well offensively. So I'm going to take the Steelers in that one.
Okay, and what Michael was saying also about correlated parlay possibilities, that's one of them, right? If the Ravens lose on Saturday, Steelers have clinched the AFC North, and maybe that changes how they approach the Browns game. And you're on the Titans plus the 2.5 versus the Saints. You're the guy. Love hearing somebody be on the other side of this.
I am the guy, and I'm going to look to one narrative in this. The number one player in the draft was Cam Ward, number one pick in the draft. You don't think he wants to come out? I've always heard about Tyler Shaw all last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He's number two in odds for offensive rookie of the year, which rightfully so, he probably should be. But Tennessee has not quit. They have not quit. They are playing very hard, and Cam Ward is a competitor. I bet him last year to be the number one pick at 7-1 back in December. That's my guy, and I think he's going to come out and he's going to want to prove something. Now, can the defense? He doesn't play defense, but I think the defense is good enough that they can keep it close against the Saints. So I'm on the Titans plus the 2.5, and I'm taking my guy Cam Ward.
All right, and finally, before you leave, we promise this: you have a bet to win the AFC, and it is
My bet to win the AFC is the Houston Texans plus six. Well, I got them at +550, but they're now +650. They right now they're number one in the AFC in my adjusted scoring margin model. They did not look good last week, so I have a little red flag with them on how they performed last week. But if they get in with that defense, they kind of remind me of the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. Get in that vaunted defense. They have an unbelievable kicker that can, you know, that can win games for you at the end. So I'm going to jump on the Texans with pretty good value to win the AFC. And the AFC is wide open.
Michael, Merry Christmas to you and the wife and the whole family. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.